This is Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride. Thank you for being here with us today. Our next guest is best known in Juno as the Spice Lady, who has shared the secrets of spice in her cooking classes. And then she went on to buy the Saffron restaurant downtown and, of course, renamed it Spice. What other name would the Spice Lady give to her restaurant? Nimi Phillips is joining us now. Nimi, thank you for taking time out to get us in the festive spirit for the holidays. And I know you will be sharing a rice recipe later with us in the program. But, you know, first of all, let's talk about your latest incarnation as a restaurant owner. I believe you came to Juno as an engineer, not to run a restaurant.
Thank you, Rhonda. Thank you for having me on the show. And yes, I worked as an electrical engineer and partner at Hayton Associates for past 8 years. And for past 2 years or so, I've been doing Indian cooking as auction dinners and cooking classes at my home. I always had the love for Indian cooking and flavors and, you know, old recipes and so on. So in June of this year, I got connected with Tracy and I decided to buy Saffron. And as of June 14th, I own the Saffron restaurant, rebranded and relaunched into Spice.
And of course, the name rings true. But because people, you know, you're famous for your cooking classes in Juno. People just love the recipes that you shared with them and your knowledge of spices. So it seems very unusual, though, to open a business, to take a risk like that while we are in the midst of a pandemic, because a lot of businesses closed at that time. What made you decide to make the plunge?
You know, it's never a good time to start a restaurant, right? It's just, you know, you always think about, okay, this year might be the best, next year might be the best, but I just have to go ahead and do it. You know, 2020 COVID made you realize, is this what you want to do rest of your life kind of thoughts? And I always wanted to share my recipes and share Indian cooking with the rest of the world and thought, why not start now?
So tell us a little bit about where your family is from in India. And from what I understand, that India is a huge place and there are all kinds of different cooking styles.
Yes. India has 27 states, as known. There's other regions that is not considered as states. And my family, my mom is from south part of India. And most of my cookings and recipes comes from my grandmother recipes and my mom's recipes and watching them, helping them in the kitchen since I was a young girl. And just to give you a perspective on different type of cookings in different parts of India, like we all make chicken tikka masala. It's called the same, looks the same, but the taste different. So every regional chicken tikka masala, for an example, is all different tasting, yet it's all amazingly yummy food. And what else can I say about different? I mean, again, garam masala is something that we all cook. We all have the recipes for it. It's all different from South India to North India to Kerala to Tamil Nadu. It's just different on different household, depending on which part of India, which regional you come from.
Well, of course, in this country, you know, we see southern cooking, which is known for its richness of the food, a lot of fat, a lot of sugar, a lot of salt, but everybody loves it. And also, you know, on the East Coast, you have Italian cooking. In Louisiana, you have also another very lush kind of cooking. So the southern part of India, where your family is from, what is the style of cooking there?
Southern India is mostly based, most of the cooking is based on coconut because coconut is plenty grown there. And we have vegetarian, vegetable dish with coconut, meat with coconut, fish with coconut. And we have a lot of seafood. Seafood is another fish, different types of fishes. And that would be one of the things that South Indians do mostly. And you know, even though India is a Hinduism country, we all blend in with the different recipes and cultural celebration and cooking and all sort of stuff. So even though most of my recipes come from South Indian, I also cook in North Indian food as well. Learned from many friends.
Well, I guess that's kind of what makes it exciting, is that you can mm-hmm. bring recipes from different regions. So I understand that you're going to have the 12 days of Christmas celebrated in your menu. And I was kind of surprised, is Christmas celebrated in India? Is it much of a holiday?
Yes. You know, if south part of most of the south part of India, I would say 70% is just Catholics or Christianity. It is a Hindu country, but it is celebrated equally, all the celebration, Diwali to Holi to Christmas. Everybody will have a star outside the window and all the church bells and carols. And even though you're a Hindu, you're still celebrated. I'm born and raised as a Catholic, and I still celebrate Diwali, Holi, and all the Hindu festivals. It's just it's a melting pot in India.
Well, that's interesting that you say that, that there's one region of India that has a large Catholic population, but mm-hmm. India mm-hmm. is such a different climate. You know, it's kind of like if you were in Arizona celebrating Christmas, you've got to have different traditions. So how is Christmas celebrated in southern India?
Christmas, same like here, just that we don't have snow. we have, you know, Christmas trees, like I said, stars, carols, group, you know, small groups of neighborhood carol singers go house to house, like old traditional style here, and special foods, mostly feast, amazing food. You know, what my memories from childhood comes is like in the vacation time, we go to our grandparents' house, especially vacation time is Christmas time or any kind of holidays. And the memories that I have is the midnight mass, come home, amazing smell of yummy food made by grandmother. And, you know, that's what I want to bring to Juno. So the 12 days of Christmas dinner recipe, the appam, the chicken curry, the beef dry roast, those are all my grandmother's recipes that I want to bring to Juno and share with our amazing Juno.
So tell us about your grandmother. What was it like to watch her in the kitchen? And what did she teach you about cooking?
Mostly have fun with cooking. You know, even though she has her own way of doing, even though I make my own way of doing in front of her, she would not say, you're doing it wrong, do it this way. No, she'll say, have fun with it, make your own recipes. And, you know, you're sharing a food with the family, feeding another person is a way of my grandmother's life. And that's what's something I want to continue in my life.
So as you made your transition from being an engineer, and I'm sure in an office that's probably a lot more sterile than a kitchen in terms of you know, workspace. How has it been for you?
It's been a lot of fun. I'm actually enjoying it, and I'm thinking, why didn't I do it 4 years ago or 5 years ago? And I'm not going to stop being an engineer. I always will be an engineer. And you know, this time in my life that I wanted to enjoy the most thing that makes me very happy with the restaurant is seeing the smiles on people's face, being a part of their special day. You know, just even if it's for an hour or two, it's just it makes a fulfillment or just it's an amazing feeling.
So being an engineer and now running a restaurant, are there any disciplines or ways of thinking that carry over into your cooking?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
What's that?
I plan things. As an engineer, you plan everything. Before you sit down to draw anything on a paper, you design the whole thing in your head. You have to have that imagination. And you do the same. I do the same thing in my kitchen. I imagine what it would be like, how many guests will come, or what are the plate, the platter is going to look like, how pretty it need to be, what need to be changed. And everything you plan it in your head and you make perfect out of your imagination. Yes, it plays a big role.
Well, successful cooking is a matter of good planning, right? You got to have everything timed out perfectly. And unless, especially if you're baking, boy, you know, you got to be very precise with your measurements of things. But I'm curious with Indian cooking, to me, most of what I know about Indian cooking, except for some of the few visits to Indian restaurants in various communities over the years, is what, you know, what I see in the store. And more you do notice more and more sauces, tikka masala sauces, curries, different spices being offered in the grocery store. But from what I understand, that's just kind of like the tip of the iceberg of all the flavors that are out there. So I know that you give 4-hour classes on the subject of Indian spices, but in a nutshell, what are the major spices? You mentioned that coconut is an important ingredient, but what are the key spices that define Indian cooking?
So I would say garam masala. Garam masala is garam means warm in Hindi. It's a warm spice. The garam masala gives the life to any of your dish. So you've got to have garam masala in your pantry to do any type of Indian cooking, in my opinion. And, my garam masala, you can make any type of mixture of garam masala. There's so many different way of making it. Ours is cinnamon, mace, black peppercorn, coriander seeds, cumin seeds, cardamom pods, cloves, fenugreek, nutmeg. Those are all roasted as a whole spice, and you cool it down and you grind it, and that's how you get the garam masala. And like I said, everybody makes garam masala differently, and there's no right or wrong way. I would prefer to make your own house blend so that you can control the flavors and control the heat, control the, to specific needs of your dishes. So I would say garam masala is the life of every Indian dish.
So you hear a lot about curry, but what is curry? Is it really one spice, or, you know, what's in it?
Curry powder is made with the turmeric, cumin, and coriander. That's it. So the major part of the curry powder is turmeric. And, you know, there might be other curry powders out there, but curry powder is not going to give you the flavors that you get from a garam masala. Garam masala, you can take and marinate your meat, fish, chicken, whatever, even vegetables, and leave it for 30 minutes. Then you put it into any type of coconut sauce, tomato sauce, any base of sauce, and you get an amazing intense flavor with so many different notes that you get on your taste buds.
You know, I had a friend who was a vegetarian, and she would say, you know, I can make you not miss meat. I promise you that if you eat my cooking, you will not miss meat, because the flavors are so amazing. The spices in Indian cooking, you know, are what I use. And also she cooked quite a bit of Thai food, which uses similar spices. But what is it about the use of spices in Indian cooking that makes you not miss meat, so to speak?
The Indian country as a whole is mostly vegetarians and eat a lot of seafood too. And there's, you know, I can go on for, like you said, 4 hours to more about spices. And we got to do one of these Juno afternoons alone on spices for me to cover this. But just in a nutshell, you know, like I said, Indian Hinduism culture has so many levels of tiers in just Hinduism. And most of the people in Hinduism, they are changing now, but they don't eat meat. Some tiers don't eat fish. So we had to come up with recipes that, you know, still gives you the proteins, the flavors, the fulfillment of your meal. And that's where all of these different flavors, and we're still learning more about flavors. And like I said, all what I know is so mustard seed of what's out there. So there's a lot more to learn.
See, you even use spice metaphors. a mustard seed, a tiny mustard seed. So what's your favorite spice?
Cardamom.
And why?
Cardamom is my favorite spice because it has the intense sweet flavor, and it can be used for a dessert, can be used for to flavor your rice. It can be used in a meat dish, a fish dish. It can be used in so many different ways. And, you know, once you peel the outer layer of cardamom, the small seeds, you grind them. You can use it in smoothies. You can use it in any type of chai, latte, any of this stuff. And cardamom smells amazing. And it has so many different you know, benefits in to change the flavors on different foods and so on. There's two types of cardamom, green cardamom and black cardamom. And most of the cardamom that we use is green, and that's grown easily in south part of India.
So before we go, we have promised folks a recipe of yours, one of your favorite recipes for the holidays. And I promise that once I get off the air, that I will post it on our KTOO Juno Afternoon webpage so that you can download that. So you don't have to sit here or scramble for a pencil to get this recipe. But thank you for sharing one of your favorite recipes with us, and maybe tell us some of the memories associated with this recipe.
Absolutely. Before we go to that, I'd like to add one other thing to one of your questions, that how easy it was from going from engineering to a restaurant owner. I couldn't have done it without a great team that I have at our restaurant that came with my team came with the Saffron restaurant, amazing people. I couldn't have done it myself. That's one of the main reasons that it was an easy transition to a restaurant owner. Going to a recipe for the Kerala fried rice recipes, what I'm sharing today. And we used this fried rice recipe during our Diwali festival, and people loved it. Everyone loved it. The color, it's colorful. You know, for me, it's you look at something and it has to look pretty to make it, you know, more attracting. And it has French cut beans. It has string carrots, red onions, ginger, garlic, of course, garam masala, turmeric powder, and so on. So you first, when you make the rice, if you're making it in a pressure cooker, you add the basmati rice, cardamom, 6 cardamoms, 5 cloves, bay leaves 2, cinnamon sticks 2, and this is for 2 cups of rice. So you will get to serve for 6 people, 6 or more, depending how much rice you eat. So you put it in the pressure cooker together and you cook it. Once the rice is cooked, you can remove all the whole spices out of it. It leaves the rice with an amazing flavorful smell that will fill your kitchen with. And once you have the rice done, you can heat up the oil, you saute the ginger garlic, and then you add the red onions, cook that to a brown color, and then you add the French cut beans, string carrots, and cook that to make it, I would say, soft, not mushy. And then you add your garam masala and your turmeric, and you add the cooked rice to it, mix well, and then you garnish it with fried red onion and roasted raisins and cashews. And the recipe is, you'll put it on the web for everyone, correct?
Yeah. Right, because they can't write all that. They can't keep up.
I know, I was trying to keep it in the time limit, so I was saying, pretty fast.
Too. Well, the other thing too is you said pressure cooker, but could you use a rice cooker?
A rice cooker? Yeah. That's what I meant. Sorry.
So
rice cooker.
Yeah. So the rice cooker will help people that have trouble making rice by the old-fashioned way of boiling it and all of that. So very quickly here, can you give us a memory associated with this dish?
Yes. Yeah. This actually, it's my aunt's recipe. My aunt makes this. She makes it so easily. She'll say, oh, I'll just make a fried rice today. And to me, always, it's amazed me how easy it was for her. And she didn't get the frozen French cut beans at the store. She actually French cut the beans by herself, and the carrots, the string carrots, at least for us, we get them frozen, and it's fresh and frozen. It's easily get to it and make a recipe quickly. But for her, it was cutting and slicing and, you know, putting all of this together. And she did not use a rice cooker. She boiled the rice. She boiled the rice in hot water, and that's how she cooked it. But she was able to make this in a small amount of time and also have fun at the same time.
Well, it sounds like it'll be beautiful and colorful, and everybody will be really impressed when you set it on the table.
It is beautiful.
Very festive. Well, thank you so much for being here with us and talking about some of the essence of good cooking. And Nimi Phillips, Juneau's very own spice lady and owner of Spice Restaurant. Thanks so much.
Thank you.